There's an incredible arbitrage opportunity for retail here because the 13 million shares are on lockup until the 1st of May. We don't believe that those gentlemen who've invested, again, as mentioned, Peter Moroney, Eduardo Elstein, Pat DiCapo, and others of that mining statesman quality, they're not invested here looking for a 5-10% return. They're looking to go and build a company, the likes of which they have in the vicinity. So what this leaves is 7 million shares. Take out the stock which is under escrow, which is 2 million shares. I think that from the calls that we've made and we've seen who is an original investor since day one, I think there's a float of about 3.5 million shares there. I think it's why people are seeing the stock go up and down on 5-10 grand worth of trading, 20%.
Jeremy Gillis, what's going on? How are you, my friend? Sendero Resources.
I'm phenomenal. Thank you very much, Andy and Steve, for having me today.
Yeah, you're very welcome. So what really attracted me to your project here is exposure to Argentina. Tell us all about the project and really doing business in Argentina and what do you have in the ground?
So we're a recently restructured Argentine-focused exploration play. We're in the heart of the Vicuña, which is probably one of the has fast become the most prospective area for not only exploration but also development. Argentina is something that we have a lot of experience with. I spent 10 years at Yamana Gold, and we not only built mines there, we had producing mines and plenty of exploration. It's interesting that when people who are suddenly now looking at Argentina, historically, it's always been a mining-friendly jurisdiction. The biggest and best miners in the world have been there. For example, if you look at Pascual Lama, which again people go to as the poster child for what Argentina got wrong, it was actually the Chileans that cancelled the project. It has a deep mining pedigree. Argentina, on a macro level, has certainly improved in the last 5 years, and they see mining as an opportunity to fix the economic problems. What's interesting is Yamana, who I used to work for, and Peter Moroney, who's one of our investor group, actually founded Yamana, and it was Yamana Resources, which was a bankrupt Argentine company. So there's been a history of Argentina. We like working there. We're in the middle of what's called the Vicuña District, surrounded by absolute giants. Very similarly to how EnGEC started in 2009. It was a $40 million company. They've since spun out $8.2 billion worth of assets. So I think we're in a fast becoming very interesting part of the world.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you too, especially with the changes that have been made. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's a lot more mining friendly. Is that correct? As mining friendly as it was previously.
I'd actually say it's more mining friendly.
Yeah.
If you look at La Rioja, where we are, which has watched San Juan become a premier mining jurisdiction, and they've seen the economic effect that it's had since 2006 when they opened the first mine there. La Rioja has actually changed the mining code, opened up for exploration because they've realized that this is the fastest way to attract capital. Again, on our incredible cap structure, we brought in a gentleman called Eduardo Elstein, who's an Argentine industrialist and billionaire, has a lot of mining interests in country. And he obviously fundamentally believes that this is going to be one of the drivers that's going to move Argentina, which again, 120 years ago was the fifth biggest economy in the world. I mean, you've got an abundance of natural resources there to go and unlock.
Yeah. So let's take it to the project, to the specific project that you want to talk about. Or is this more of a gold play or a copper play?
It's a copper gold play, which follows the geology of the Bikuni area. I think what this area has fast become is, you know, there are producing mines, Caserones. While the grade might be low because of that gold kicker, certainly at these prices, it makes it more attractive. But what people are finding, as they're seeing from the neighbors, is just huge district scale opportunities. You know, these are not small high grade mines. These are very, very large, that has the geological potential for very large multi-year generational assets. We can see that from the fact that Lundin, who are obviously a very large mining company, but they, you talk about jurisdictional risk, they sold mines in Europe to actually put more money into their projects in the Vicuña. It's also attracted the likes of BHP. When we speak to major mining companies about their exploration efforts, the world has got a lot smaller. You know, where do you go and find a 200 square kilometer block? Asia's out. Russia's certainly out. You know, certain places in Latin America aren't as friendly as they used to be because of permitting. The US, Canada don't work. So I think that this place has the right rocks and the right jurisdictional risk. It's interesting. A lot of people have run to this area since Filo put out hole 41. What's actually Sendero started amassing these land packages in 2017. So Sendero was in existence before everybody else ran to the area, because the project, you know, is actually part of the original land package, which housed Filo, NGEX, and Jose Maria.
Okay, got it. Can you talk about a little bit, you said a key word there, permitting. Can you talk to me, what's the ETA on getting a mining permit? And I say that either if you were to de-risk this and someday and mine, if you were to choose to do that, what's that timeline look like? And then the second question is, if you get bought out, people would want to, you know, it's advantageous to have a mining permit in hand. So what's that ETA on getting a mine permit? That's my first question. The second, can you give any numbers of what we're dealing with that is in the ground that we know of? Any feasibility study or anything of that nature?
Now, this is, to answer the last question first, this is early stage exploration, but what do we actually have? We have a 211 square kilometer land package. This has historically had 16,000 meters of drilling across 60 holes, an abundance of geophysical surveys, 2,300 surface samples, 8 kilometers of trenches.
Yeah.
Gives us a springboard into a data set. So in terms of what we're going to do next, as mentioned, this has been recently restructured. There was a drill program that the market didn't take kindly to. That's created a massive opportunity for us to restructure the company and come in, use all of that historic data, rather than rush out there and go and drill and come up with a new geological model that we can have faith in. Because the geos that we have, we don't use a drill bit as an exploration tool. We use a drill bit to go and prove out a model. Because when holes cost the same as two Lamborghinis in a Ferrari, you want to make sure that you're putting that 3-inch hole in the exact right space. So in terms of permitting to the next phase, I think as everybody's seen, whether it's Jose Maria getting its permits in order and construction decisions, Argentina having been part of a company that built mines there, you go through the same process. This isn't like the US or Canada that takes 20 years. This is La Rioja, an amazing place, but it's the poorest province in Argentina. If we could go and build a mine tomorrow, again, because the government has, we have an option agreement with the government, which helps us with social license, they would be desperate for us to go and build a mine. You talk about mine building, low cost of electricity, There are already roads. We're on the same road that people use to Jose Maria. There is infrastructure in place. So again, as we go through the process of exploration, and we are a green brownfields exploration project, we're in the right place because there is mines now being built, literally a stone's throw away. And the roads are incredible. So the roads, the electricity, all of that good stuff, which usually makes projects impossible to build, is all being put in for us. We get a free carry through on that. So
Got it. No, I don't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, just that's the point, is that you already have pretty much an infrastructure already in place. So it's pretty almost turnkey, assuming that you hit.
Well, it's actually slightly easier than that. Because of that data set and the fact that the last drilling, while it underwhelmed the market, still demonstrated mineralization all over the property. So, and on top of that, you talk about infrastructure, they just spent $500,000 US on upgrading a camp, which our team is at sites at the moment utilizing. So, you know, there's a huge value add opportunity for investors at this juncture.
Yeah, Jeremy, you mentioned share structure a little bit. Can you talk a little bit about that? How many shares outstanding, fully diluted, warrants, stock options? And could you talk about, you know, what percentage of your owners are owned by shareholders and insiders? Insiders and institutions.
Pretty simple. Sendero Mark One had 70 million shares. There was a 10-to-1 rollback that occurred. We just did a small financing to this investor group, 13 million shares. So there's 20 million shares outstanding. There's 13 million warrants, which are already in the money, and 1.3 million options just granted to board and management at 40 cents. There's an incredible arbitrage opportunity for retail here. Because the 13 million shares are on lockup until the 1st of May. We don't believe that those gentlemen who've invested, again, as mentioned, Peter Moroni, Eduardo Elstein, Pat DiCapo, and others of that mining statesman quality, they're not invested here looking for a 5, 10% return. They're looking to go and build a company, the likes of which they have in the vicinity. So what this leaves is 7 million shares. Take out the stock, which is under escrow, which is 2 million shares. I think that from the calls that we've made and we've seen who is an original investor since day one, I think there's a float of about 3.5 million shares there. I think it's why people are seeing the stock go up and down on 5-10 grams worth of trading, 20%. This is, to me, creates, and I can't give financial advice, do your own due diligence, but to me, it creates not an opportunity for institutional investors. I've had people call me up. They want us to do a financing because they want to get a position of size and scale. Nobody now is getting a position of size and scale. This is perfect for the retail audience because they can pick a price point to get into this stock because, you know, there is only 5-10 grams worth of stock available. We think that that's great because this is a shareholder-led company. You talk about between insiders, it's probably about 17-18% between that new investor group who are here for the long run. It's probably 70-75%. So super tight share structure that gives people a lot of leverage. On valuation, this is a very simplistic place to come up with valuations. This isn't like BC where you've got companies from 0 to 1 billion. Every Vicuña Junior seems to trade at about 25 to 30 million, notwithstanding what they have or they don't have. We're trading at an $8 to $8.5 million market cap, which for the quality of the asset, the quality of the people, and more importantly, as we touched on before, this is an expensive place to do exploration. So the most important thing is access to capital. And we check that box as well. just through our investors. So, and that's without them going to their broader audience. So we think that cap table to most people would be hampering them. I think it's actually really going to help us. And especially when investors see, come the 1st of May, that that cheaper stock from the last financing does not come onto the open market, people are going to realize that there is not an opportunity to get into this story.
Thanks. Steve, did you have any other questions?
Yeah, just could you talk a little bit about your team, your experience? I noticed that you've got a lot of people with a lot of good mining experience that going to, well, who do you have around you that can help move this forward? And what are your plans for the next quarter?
So we have, when the team was put together, this was an opportunity to go and learn from past mistakes. So we went and put a team of geologists together who all have big company experience, whether it's Alex Kuchevsky, who's our CEO, who's worked at Kinross and Centara, or Steve McMullen, who won a PDAC prize while he was at Ivanhoe for discovering Kamoa, which is now the third biggest copper mine in the world. They understand, and we picked them because they understand not just exploration, but they've all worked at producing assets, which again gives people a monumental head start. So to match that incredible depth of technical expertise, we have this unrivaled investor group. People like Peter Moroney, you know, are running billion-dollar companies. He just got sold Yamana for, you know, $4.8 billion. You know, why are they looking at a company this small? And what's very interesting is this is the first collaboration between Peter Moroney and Pat DeCampo from Power One. That in itself speaks volumes, that because of the quality of the team and the quality of the asset, it's managed to attract capital of that nature. We also have Eduardo Elstein, as mentioned, to help us in country, and then a slew of very impressive mining investors who are here because they believe that we'd like to go and do exactly what they did next door. The plans for this quarter, again, this is, we've only been on this for about 3-4 months. We are going through all of the historic data, not just the Sendero data, but the Eldorado, the Vale, the Anglo data, whereby, you know, that gives us a view. We're going to build we're in the process of building a new geological model that we will go and present over the course of the next couple of months with a view on the next drill season, which is October, November 2025, moving into Q1 2026 to go and drill this. And if anybody is concerned about how we're going to finance that drilling, as mentioned, we have a lot of warrants which were given to this investing group. They are willing to exercise those straight away. We then can go and access funds through that investing group without having to go to the general public. Again, keeping that share structure exceptionally tight.
Got it.
Jeremy, people want to more information about you. They want to buy you. How abouts do they do that? And what's your ticker?
So we're listed on the TSX Venture Exchange, ticker symbol SEND. Happy to take calls, emails. I'm available all the time. Jeremy@senderoresources.com or through our website. And we are looking forward to what we think is going to be a monumental turnaround for this little company.
Excellent. And I believe Interactive Brokers has you, if I'm not mistaken. I don't get anything from Interactive Brokers, but that's what I would do to trade this stock. And I've always been very happy with them. So excellent. Jeremy, want to thank you so much. We'd love to have you up on again as the news comes out.
Andy, Steve, thank you very much.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.